Well, can I have a couple people help me with the communion and we'll... Father, we celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus, that perfect sacrifice that did everything right for us, that took care of everything that we can't take care of ourselves. One of those is healing. When we look at this bread, we see His body sacrificed on that cross. We see where His body has been beaten and bruised for us. And we also see that His body took stripes on His back for our healing. And we see His pierced body where He shed blood and got redemption for us in so many ways. We see His broken body. And we see that this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of Your fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. So we're taking this for our healing. We thank You for it. Father, we praise the blood of Jesus. We thank You for the blood of Jesus, and we honor the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus completely washed away our sins. And it's His blood that protects us. And it's His blood that seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of His blood that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in a time of need. It's because of His blood that we can stand in Your presence completely justified, never sinned. It's because of His blood and His blood alone that we receive the blessings, and we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Well, open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. I want to talk to you a little bit about this revival that's going on. This is an exciting time. I want you to know that there's going to probably be two different groups of people that want this shut down. The government would want this to be shut down, and the religious mafia would want this to be shut down. Why do I say the religious mafia? Because we're in these little split up groups. And one thing that they mentioned about this revival is it's an interfaith revival, because there's people crossing denominational lines to go into this revival and enjoy this time of prayer and worship. And the religious mafia is not going to stand for that. They just won't. They're not. There's already, I've seen some of them already screaming that this is not a true revival. This is not of God. Why? Well, because they're not doing it the way we would do it. Well, what do you know about it? It's God's revival. You know, revival is not a word that you find in the Bible. Did you ever notice that? But they talk about it, but there's no specific guidelines laid out. It's a move of God. And no man is ever going to be able to put God in a box, and they're not going to be able to tell God how He's going to move His church forward. Amen? It's an exciting time. I I really believe that this could be an ushering in of God's next big move in our world. It's an exciting time. Just get in agreement with these people and pray that revival comes to our part of the world. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want it to come to our land, not our denomination. In case maybe you might not have noticed, I cannot stand denominationalism. I understand why they're there. They're there because they preserve something for the church. But it's a split. It's a fraction. It's a division. It's this group over here and this group over here and this group over here instead of the church together. Amen? That's one thing that's really neat about revivals is they cross denominational lines. One day, we will all come together in the unity of the faith. Not our doctrine. But we will come together in the unity of the faith. Another thing I want to talk to you about when it comes to revivals and exciting things, exciting moves of God, is to stop and pay attention. Because people get caught up in excitement. You need to make sure. The Bible warns us to beware not to fall for lying signs and wonders. Don't be looking for the signs and wonders. Be looking for the Word of God. See if it's focused on Jesus or not. I wish I could find this old video. I've seen a lot of lying signs and wonders. I've seen them. You know, the devil can do signs and wonders. The devil can make things happen. He can see things. People can see him do stuff. So it's important to not get caught up in chasing the excitement. Don't get caught up in chasing what you see. Get caught up in finding the Word of God in the situation. And then when you find that, then it's okay to get swept away in the Spirit. Just make sure that you're seeing the Word of God in the situation. Amen? Because people get excited and their blood gets pumping, the adrenaline gets pumping, and the next thing you know, they're chasing something over here that is so far from the Word of God that it's hard to get them back. You know, and it really happens to people that are hungry. They're really looking for something. They want something. They want to see something happen. So they'll fall for the next cool thing that comes down the road. Sounds good. It looks pretty good. The crunch of the apple probably sounded pretty good. The apple looked pretty good. But it wasn't what God intended for Adam, was it? So we just need to pay attention. Stay rooted in the Word. Stay focused. Now, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 14. Excuse me. Verse 4. Romans chapter 14, verse 4. It says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth." Yeah. "He shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand." Now, I want you to look at John chapter 1, verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. We need to recognize, we've been talking about, don't get caught up in non-essential scruples. You know, we talked in big lengths about that last Sunday. And it's important, with this revival happening, don't get caught up in non-essential scruples. You know, well, these guys, they're having something happens in this church and revival hits. It's important to not sit there and say, well, that's not the way we do it at our church. Well, you know what? You need to just stop. It's revival. It's revival. See, that's what some of the people are screaming about about Asbury. That's not the way we would do it. Well, how would you do it if you were God? Don't get caught up in non-essential scruples. Sometimes you got to just kind of set back a little bit and let things roll. We need to recognize that no man will fall who consciously follows God and the light that he has received. See, these guys got a light. They got lit up on the inside. They got a light. Now their revival is on. Maybe they don't know what you know, but you know what? Maybe we don't know what they just got a big revelation of. Maybe we need them to show up here and show us what they learned. Amen. Maybe some of these staunch Methodists that were going to Asbury all of a sudden got lit up, and they're going to bring revival back to our land. That'll make a lot of people mad. I'm excited for it. Maybe they got a hold of what Wesley had and they're going to light it back up. Wesley is a fireball. Wouldn't that be exciting? That would be exciting. Look at verse 6 of Romans chapter 14. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Now, there's two more scriptures that we're going to look at. But we need to understand that we do not judge people according to their Sabbath. Some people revere Saturday as the Sabbath. Okay. Some people regard Sunday as the Sabbath. Okay. Did you know it's okay? It's just okay. If somebody doesn't want to work on Saturday, they don't want to do that, they want to just observe Jesus, that's great. Somebody wants to take Sunday off to observe the Sabbath and just worship Jesus, that's great. But here's the thing. Whatever you do, don't do it in an attitude of trying to get God to bless you. You know, do not observe the Sabbath in a fashion that you're trying to earn favor from God. And then you put yourself under the law. You're supposed to stay under grace. It's great to take time off and just worship Jesus. But you're doing it to worship Him, not to earn favor. You've already been given favor. You've been placed in a position of great favor and grace. You are highly favored. You're blessed. Our job is to receive that, not earn it. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. So it's no wonder we end up in Galatians when we're talking about not observing the law. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "But now, after that you have known God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage?" You see that? "You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not entered me at all." Look, these guys got saved by grace. And then they picked up their Sabbath. They decided they were going to start observing these days and months in order to stay in right standing with God. And that just won't work. Hey, Ron, could you turn the fan off? Or you look a little cold. So that won't do. It's okay to observe the Sabbath, but don't do it as an act of obedience in order to stay in right standing with God. You're already in right standing with God because what Jesus did on the cross for you. You're not going to get any more righteous than what you already are at the new birth. You've already been made that way. And you couldn't do one thing to make yourself that way. So that's why it's important. Whatever you do, do it as an act of faith because you've already been placed in a position. Don't do it as an act of obedience because you're trying to get placed into a position. Now I want you to look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and it took out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Judge no man. Judge none. About the Sabbath day they keep, or don't keep. Maybe these guys don't celebrate Easter, maybe these guys do. I personally am not going to get caught in the Easter egg hunt. I'm just not. I'll celebrate Resurrection Sunday with you. Amen. But don't get mad at somebody because they don't go to church on Sunday, they go to church on Saturday. You know, I got a little confession to make to you. Me and Connie used to go to church on Saturday night. Ooh, and Bible study on Tuesday night. But it's supposed to be on Sunday morning and Wednesday. It's supposed to be every day. It's supposed to be every day. But my pastor had church on Saturday night so that all these other denominations could come together and celebrate Jesus. And we had them from all over the community. It was pretty cool. You know, we had Baptists, we had Methodists, we had Pentecostals, we had them all. Yeah, the young people, it was just cool. It was a good time. He called it Saturday Night Life. But look, that was getting all the divisions out of the way and bringing the body of Christ together. That's what we should be about. Look at Romans chapter 14 again. Romans chapter 14, verse 2 says, "For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herb. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? His own master he stands or falls. Yet he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. For one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks." Now look down to verse 13. "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." He goes down here to verse 17. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Judge no one about what they eat. If it's allowable, don't judge them. You cannot believe how much confusion there is about this in the Word of Faith circles, of all things. I had some Word of Faith people get mad at me because I ate pork. I had somebody one time say, "You know what a slap in the face it must be to Jesus to eat ham on Easter?" I thought, "Are you kidding me?" And then they go on and say, "You shouldn't eat no catfish, you shouldn't eat no crawdads, you shouldn't eat nothing like that. That's bottom feeders." Does God's word not mean anything at all to you? But what they were doing was casting a judgment off on me, trying to build their own self-righteousness up. That's crazy. It's crazy. Don't judge people on what they eat or what they don't eat. You know, did you know it's really none of your business? Now God did say, and this did not change, "Do not drink blood." There's a stern warning in there. And it's still happening today. And those people are judged and they're going away. Washington, D.C. is full of people like that. They're going away. We just need to keep praying and keep waiting and be patient. And God's will be done on this earth. But really, that's a non-essential scruple. You know, if somebody's vegetarian, praise God. That's what they eat. If somebody doesn't eat sugar, praise God. Somebody doesn't eat beef, it's okay. Somebody doesn't eat pork, it's okay. But here's the thing, don't try to make a doctrine out of it. Don't try to tell somebody that they're not serving God in the right way because they do eat meat. Don't try to tell somebody that they're not serving God in the right way because they eat pork. Just stop. It's not something that you need to focus on. It's a non-essential scruple. Back to Romans chapter 14, verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. What I'm getting to here is something that people really have a hard time with. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make thy brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the brother standeth, lest I make my brother offend. Now I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. It says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, nor for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Know this, that we need to let all people live in peace, for the Lord and for each other. Let people be people. This is one of the biggest things that causes division. They don't do it the way we do it, so we can't get along. They don't see it the way we see it, so we don't get along. They don't do it the way we do it, so they can't be right. Did you know just because they're different doesn't make them wrong? Well, they don't play music in church. So what? That doesn't make them wrong. It just makes them different. Do you realize that the government and the world basically has been getting everybody to focus on racism, to fight racism? And it doesn't ever fix anything? Why? Because racism doesn't exist. Now that sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? What does exist is the spirit of division. What they're really doing is saying, hey, these guys are different than you, so you can't get along. Those guys don't do things the way you do it, so you can't get along. What are they doing? They're using that spirit of division to keep us fractured, because the devil knows that if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. He knows that if we all come together in agreement in the spirit of unity, he's toast. You know, one of the things about socialism, and they follow these rules to a T, is they try to have class divisions. They try to get the poor people to blame the rich people for their problems. They try to get the black people to be mad at the white people for their problems. They try to get the white people to be mad at the Hispanic people for their problems. Try to get the Hispanic people mad at the black people for what they did wrong. Try to get Chinese mad at the Russian people. Try to get the Russian people mad at the... Stop! And they take it even a step further. They get the Baptist people screaming at the Methodist people, the Catholic people screaming at the Pentecostal people, the Word of Faith people screaming at this, and then the man screaming at the wife screaming, you squeeze the toothpaste in the middle, you idiot! What is that? That's the spirit of division. And the devil has gotten so proficient at it till the body of Christ is so tore apart. Till it's amazing to me that we can even agree that the Bible is the Word of God. You see what the devil has done in the world? He's used the spirit of division to get people that are different to look at other people as being wrong over some stupid little thing, usually. We can't let that happen. We just can't. But it'll have to be centered on the Word of God and not on our doctrines. That's the only way we'll come together in the unity of the faith, is through the Word of God. If you can find something to agree on, Start there. Can we all agree Jesus is the Lord? That'd be a good place to start. Now you can cross denominational lines. I believe Jesus is Lord. Amen? And forget about the rest of the stuff for now. Amen? Let God take care of that. Find something else to agree on. And then find something else to agree on. And then find something else to agree. And then pretty soon what you have is a powerhouse of believers that have decided they're going to be be at peace with each other and agree on stuff instead of fighting about stuff that really doesn't matter. You see how petty the church has become? With all these different church splits and denominations because they don't agree with something that somebody says or something. I mean, I've had people tell me that they wouldn't go to church here because of one scripture that we believe in. They found one thing that they just could not agree with, so they just quit. Instead of finding a whole bunch of things that they could agree with. You see how weak-minded some people get? They let the devil come in there and just throw one little flake of dust out there and they just, boom, they're gone. It's called non-essential scruples. And the church seems to focus on these non-essential things instead of focusing on this. Jesus wants everybody saved. He wants everybody saved. Jesus died on the cross for absolutely everybody. If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Amen? If we just come into agreement on some of these major things and forget about these little things, the world will be turned upside down in a week. Well, we're not going to get any farther. I don't believe. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Father, for the Holy Spirit's help to teach us how to live in peace with our brethren, the body of Christ. Father, as your revival has hit the land, we ask you to bring it here. Show us how to be a part of this. Show us how to support this. Show us how to promote this. Father, it's your move. We're willing. We just ask you in the name of Jesus to use us too. Let us be a part of this revival in this part of Texas. Father, we ask you this in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is welcome here to do his thing. We don't know how to do it. We ask you to show us what to do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.